Who is an approved sadhu? Etavan, this much. Sadhu Vadaha, appropriate for a saintly person. He, indeed. Tatikshita, he may tolerate. Ishvadaha, although able to curse Prajapati Daksha. Swayam, himself. Translation, Shri Sukadeva Goswami continued. My dear king, since Narada Muni is an approved saintly person, when cursed by Prajapati Daksha, he replied, Todvada, yes, what you have said is good. I accept this curse. He could have cursed Prajapati Daksha in return, but because he is a tolerant and merciful sadhu, he took no action. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 25th Chapter, Text 21, Tatikshava Kodhunika Suda Sarvadehinam Jata Shatava Shanta Sadhava Sadhavushanaha. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. Because Narada Muni is the most elevated of sadhus, devotees, to deliver Prajapati Daksha, he silently tolerated this curse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught this principle to all his devotees. Trinadapi sunichena torodapi sahishnuna amalina manadena kirtaniya sudhadhariki. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Following the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one who preaches the glories of the Lord all over the world or all over the universe should be humbler than grass and more tolerant than a tree, because a preacher cannot live an easy-going life. Indeed, a preacher must face many impediments. Not only is he sometimes cursed, but sometimes he must suffer also personal injury. For example, when Nityananda Prabhu went to preach Krishna consciousness to the two roguish brothers, Jagai and Madai, they injured him and made his head bleed. But nevertheless, he tolerantly delivered the two rogues who became perfect Vaishnavas. This is the duty of a preacher. Lord Jesus Christ even tolerated crucifixion. Therefore, the curse against Narada was not very astonishing, and he tolerated it. Now, it may be asked why Narada Muni stayed in the presence of Prajapati Daksha and tolerated all his accusations and curses. Was that for Daksha's deliverance? The answer is yes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that after being insulted by Prajapati Daksha, Narada Muni should have left immediately, but he purposely stayed to hear all Daksha's strong words so that Daksha might be relieved of his anger. Prajapati Daksha was not an ordinary man. He had accumulated the results of many pious activities. Therefore, Narada Muni expected that after delivering his curse, Daksha, satisfied and freed from anger, would repent his misbehavior and thus get a chance to become a Vaishnava and be delivered. When Jagai Madai offended Lord Nityananda, Lord Nityananda stood tolerantly, and therefore both brothers fell at his lotus feet and repented. Consequently, they later became perfect Vaishnavas. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 6th canto, 5th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Narada Muni Cursed by Prajapati Daksha. So Sri Shukravacha Pati Jagraha Tadbhadam Anarada Saru Samataha Itavan Saru Vadohi Titikshe Teshvara Swayam. So, Om Gana Timurandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Kakshura Miditam Genitas Mai Shigurave Namaha. So there's a million topics here that one can talk about. There's the topic of anger, how to deal with someone when they're angry. There's a topic of tolerance. There's also the topic of seeing everything or behind everything, the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So all these different topics today, I'm going to try to cover all of them real quickly. Everybody's all right, because we only have a half an hour. So the first topic I wanted to talk about was the topic of anger. Anger is quite interesting. In the context of this particular story, we find that Narada Muni was letting Daksha vent his anger. Heard of the word vent? Vent means like if there's pressure building up. You ever have a pressure cooker in the kitchen? You have it. So what happens when the pressure really builds up in the pressure cooker? All of a sudden there's a little valve on the top, and it goes, and the pressure lets off. Or when you finish cooking, you gradually take the top off to let the pressure out, right? Or when you have some soda, you know what soda is? And you shake it. When we were young, we used to shake soda a lot. Did you do the same thing? No. Shake it and then put our finger on it and squirt everybody with it. Anyone here ever do that? Yeah, you did that. Oh, the devotees do it now. So when the pressure becomes relieved, it's then the soda no longer sprays all over the place. It's no longer dangerous. And when someone relieves the pressure of anger, then they're pretty calm. Of course, if you study anger psychologically, like if you have a friend who gets angry, you'll see that it happens in cycles. It's quite interesting. Studying psychology, especially the when people are in an abusive situation, you know, husband and wife are abusive, then it goes up like in a sine wave. You know what a sine wave goes like this? Then it reaches the peak. Then the person lets out his anger, and then he feels sorry. Oh, I'm sorry I beat you up, honey. I'll never do it again. You ever hear this? Hopefully you didn't. But anyway, say it's a sorry, and then the wife is thinking, or the husband's thinking, he's going to be a saint from now on. And then what happens is the pressure builds up again, right? So the point is you got to escape after the pressure is let out. And don't be fooled thinking it's not going to happen again. Because someone who is under the influence of anger, now anger comes from frustrated lust. That's the material world. I mean, material anger we're talking about now, not spiritual anger. Spiritual anger comes from love, Krishna, someone insults Krishna, and you get angry. But material anger comes when jayato vishakpum sam sangosteshi pajayate sangat sanjayate kama, kama krodha vijayate, right? You contemplate sense objects. I must have it, or you're a demon, I hate you, and it gets more and more. Like you blame, in a close relationship, you blame the other person for your own problems, right? You don't take credit for the blame yourself. So you say, oh, I hate you, I really hate you. And you're contemplating, I'll kill you. It becomes, there's like five or six stages of anger. Once it passes stage three, you're finished. You can't stop it. So anger has to be stopped in the beginning before you start contemplating sense objects. Just like the other day, I was at the camp and someone brought out an ice cream cone. So they put it right in front of my nose. Would you like some, Maharaj? So had I just started smelling it, I did smell it actually, but had I started smelling it, contemplating, why can't I have it? Why is this stupid diet I have to follow? You're all rascals. I would have gone, thank you. And then I would have been angry at myself, angry at them for destroying my diet, anything like that. So instead, I just turned it off by thinking about Krishna. That's a devotee's method of not contemplating. You've got to contemplate something. You can't not contemplate. You have to contemplate something, so we contemplate Krishna. Whenever a thought of contemplating anything not Krishna conscious comes to my mind, I immediately put Krishna, Govardhan, so many nice things I have to think about, right? Or my service to Krishna. That's why Prabhupada said if you fill the glass full, there's no room for ink. That was the example Prabhupada gave. So in other words, you have to fill your consciousness full of Krishna Katha. You have to have pictures of Krishna around. So immediately you don't contemplate. So you contemplate Krishna. So that's the point. So anyway, so anger comes in these different stages, getting back to the point. And when someone actually gets angry, they're peaceful for some time after they express their anger. And this is not the only instance in the Vedic literatures where we see this particular thing happening. In the Mahabharata, there's actually two stories about anger. After the Battle of Kurukshetra, Dhritarashtra was very angry. Why was he angry? Because his sons were killed. Not just one son, 100 sons. Can you imagine that? I mean, one son you can deal with. But 100, you know. So 100 sons were killed, and they happened to be killed by one person. Who was that one person? Bhima. Now, the other Pandavas had an opportunity to kill some of the sons of Dhritarashtra, but they didn't take that opportunity. Why? Because Bhima had made a vow, I'm going to kill all of them. So even when the other Pandavas were getting ready, you know, just to shoot one of the sons, like Dushyant or something like that, they said, we got to make sure Bhima's vow is upheld. So Bhima killed them all. And Dhritarashtra was extremely angry at Bhima. Now, Dhritarashtra was blind, but he also had the benediction that he had the strength of 10,000 elephants. So, in other words, you really wouldn't want to be getting a bear hug with him. You know what a bear hug is? Yeah, the same thing here. Like a bear, you know, big grizzly bear, or black bear, like that. So you wouldn't want to get in a hug with Bhimsen. I mean, with Dhritarashtra. So Dhritarashtra was meeting the Pandavas for the first time after the Battle of Kurukshetra, and Dhritarashtra was basically receiving the Pandavas. And then what he did is he said, "Oh, let me give Bhimsen a hug." So Bhimsen didn't think anything about it. He was going forward with a hug. But Krishna knew the whole principle of anger. So he said to Bhimsen, Didn't say, actually just made a motion. Because Dhritarashtra was blind. So Dhritarashtra couldn't see what he was doing. So in that same room, there was like a statue or a deity of Bhimsen. And that statue was there because that was the practice statue. It's not that they were worshipping Bhimsen. It was a practice statue for Duryodhana. Because Duryodhana, just his whole life, he just wanted to kill Bhimsen. So he was hitting the statue, beating it. And so Krishna motioned to Bhimsen, put the statue in front of Dhritarashtra. So Bhimsen picked up this big, big, heavy iron statue. Actually, it's very interesting about iron. You know, the modern archaeologists and anthropologists, they say at that particular point, you know, people just making, stone tools and everything like that. But if you examine some of the archaeological remnants in India, there's iron that's thousands or hundreds of thousands of years old and hasn't rusted yet. It's interesting, isn't it? That they learned the art of metallurgy. Metallurgy means like making metals. So well that they were able to make iron better than we can make steel. It didn't rust. And we're so proud in the Western world, you know, that we're the best. So, anyway, so they made this statue of Bhimsen, And the statue was put by Bhimsen in front of Dhritarashtra, and Dhritarashtra just gave the statue a big bear hug, and the statue crumbled, basically, imploded. And everyone was shocked. And Dhritarashtra thought, now I've killed Bhimsen. And then he started crying. So he felt remorseful. It's interesting, isn't it? After you've beaten someone up, you really feel bad that you've beaten them up. Has anyone experienced that? You beat anyone up? Any of you with anger here? No? You feel, oh, I'm so sorry. I broke your jaw. I'll never do it again. So Dhritarashtra felt the same way. He said, oh, I've killed Bhimsen. How can I do it? So the anger was dissipated. And because the anger was dissipated, the real Bhimsen, not the statue, was able to approach Dhritarashtra and get a hug, and he wasn't killed. So there's an instance of the anger being dissipated. Another instance from the Mahabharata, there are actually so many instances now that I think of it, was Gandhari. Gandhari was also really angry after the battle of Kurukshetra, and she was more powerful than Dhritarashtra. So what happened is that the Pandavas approached her because she was their mother, their aunt, but it's considered like mother. And she was so angry that she peered out from underneath her blindfold because she was voluntarily blind. And she looked at Yudhisthira's feet, you know, with such anger that his beautiful toes, he had beautiful toes actually, they curled up, became like claws. Pretty ugly. But when she did that, she felt better. So, without telling more stories about anger, I mean, what does that mean for us, that we should just, like, vent our anger? That's an interesting thing. So when we get angry, from time to time, we do get angry like that, stage 3, stage 4, that means uncontrollable anger. What we should do is not simply beat someone up, curse someone, or crush someone. We just get angry. Until they die. But we should take a time out. A time out and deal with our anger. Of course, there's a physical component of anger. It's really important. The devotees should understand this too. Just like the animals, they have two ways of dealing with some threat. What are the threat ways? Does anyone know? Fight or flight. So if someone feels like fighting and they don't fight, you know, somehow or other, we're talking about if you let the anger get out of control. Obviously, you shouldn't let it get out of control. Basically, you shouldn't be contemplating things, but in the real world, we do let it get out of control. So if you don't fight, then it goes inwards, right? And then you get, either way, the least you get is an anxiety attack. You ever see someone with an anxiety attack? I see it all the time. They can't breathe. They're worried about everything. The anxiety becomes generalized. You know, what if 2012 is the end of the world? Right? You heard about that before? What if 2012 is the end of the world? What if there's an earthquake here and the building collapses? Leave the window open so I can jump out in case the building collapses. I mean, it's called a generalized thing. Or, you know, in household life, what if you leave me? And then, what if you don't leave me? Both are anxiety. Anyways. Little humor for you. So, something else human. So then anxiety, or it's actually described that many of the diseases, modern diseases, are caused not just by anxiety, but that's one of the big things, but by anger. Anger turned inwards can cause cancer. Did you know that? There's been studies that generally people who do have cancer, I mean, there's exceptions, then they have a lot of anger, and if you can help them relieve the anger, there's a good chance of them overcoming cancer without going through chemotherapy. So what do we do with anger? When it gets to that stage, and it does, you know, we're not absolutely prima bhakti, so it sometimes it gets to that stage. Does anyone here it doesn't get to the stage with? No. Raise your hand if you're in the prima bhakti stage. Then there's a physical constituent to that anger, as well as the mental. All right, so mentally, we understand the anger indicates that I've been contemplating sense objects, also that I have some needs, etc. But physically, we need to do something. It's interesting. Like Prabhupada said, also in regard if one's feeling lusty, he said, go and play sports. He said to one sannyasi, not me. Many years ago, the sannyasi said, you know, what do you do with this? You know, it's in the body. And Prabhupada said, play sports. You know, do something aerobic, you know, dynamic. And get rid of it. Because there's a, in every desire, there's a mental part and there's a physical part. Practically. And so you have to do something. So if there's anger, then you, like, take a long run, you know, run up a mountain. Don't beat someone up. But the one thing I've seen very nice is you chant Hare Krishna at the same time. So you can make it a spiritual thing, like you do some exercise and you listen to Prabhupada at the same time. Or you chant japa as you're running up the mountain. And then it becomes spiritual. So you're dealing with the physical aspect of the anger as well as the spiritual aspect simultaneously. A little practical suggestion. And then you'll actually feel very much relieved. Otherwise, your body gets so tense and you'll get sick. All right, so that's the first topic. We're almost finished with the class. The next topic is, I don't know if I'm going to cover all the topics. The next topic is how to see Krishna everywhere and in everything. And Krishna, of course, in the Bhagavad Gita says, one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me is never lost to me, nor am I ever lost to him. Famous verse. So we should see when anyone does something, the person, the immediate perpetrator, whatever you may call them, is not really the cause. Now, that's a hard thing. That was brought out in the story of Dharma the bull being beaten by the personality of Kali. I think you all remember that story? So Dharma the bull was being beaten by Kali. He was standing on one leg and urinating. And who comes along but Maharaj Pariksit? And Maharaj Pariksit says, who has done this to you? And normally, you know, if we were being attacked by someone and the police came, not in India, but good police, came, and they said, who has done it? And we point out, he's the guy! Kill him! And we'd want to get revenge, right? And then we'd be very happy seeing him suffer. And the police took out their sticks. The police have sticks here or something? And they were just beating him. Then we'd go, honey, bull. It's so nice to see someone suffer. This is material consciousness. He made me suffer, I'll make him suffer. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Right? It's in the Bible. So, but Dharma the bull didn't say that. Dharma said, first of all, it's very difficult to ascertain. And then ultimately he pointed out that Krishna is behind everything, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord, right? So therefore, Krishna had arranged the situation for him. So this is very interesting. So whatever happens to us outside of our control is Krishna. That doesn't mean we can blame Krishna for something that happens because we're negligent. Like if you drive the car and runs out of petrol, it's Krishna. Right? That would be stupid. No, it's you fool. Not Krishna. But things are outside of our control. Someone attacks us, and we all experience this. Adi Atmak, Adi Bodhik, and Adi Daivik miseries. Just like yesterday, I got a little cold. So we can get real angry at what the germ or the person who gave it to us. But then we understand Krishna's put us in this situation to learn something. It's a learning experience. Why are we here in the material world? To learn. So whatever happens to us, there's something we have to learn. There's some lesson we have to learn. And I've experienced that in my own life, that when someone attacks me, of course physically it doesn't happen that much, but verbally. Because sometimes people say things that really cause, or I don't want to say cause, but precipitate excruciating pain in your heart. Like someone you really like says, I hate you. Or even worse, you know, you're a demon. And what happens then? You know, of course you feel pain in the heart. We're not rocks. But at the same time, you say, after a while you deal with that, and then you understand, what is Krishna trying to teach me? Oh, about this material world. What? I have to be compassionate to this person, even if he's attacking me. Like Haridas Thakur, beaten in 22 marketplaces. Yet he was praying for the welfare of the people who were beating him, the Muslims, isn't it? So we're confronted with that too. If we, like this verse that Prabhupada quotes here, Ajata Shatrava, that means he whose enemy is never born. That's from Lord Kapiladeva's instructions. So if we consider another person our enemy or we hate someone, that means we're failing the test. So that test that we get, where someone attacks us verbally, mentally, emotionally, or whatever, or physically, we're meant to develop compassion towards that person. And that's pretty hard. How can you become compassionate to someone who's beating you? Pretty hard, isn't it? Like Lord Jesus Christ, Prabhupada also quotes him here. Forgive them, Lord, they know not what they do. How can you do that? You really have to have a high stage of Krishna consciousness. You have to see that Krishna is arranging that. Of course, then you make him hateful towards Krishna. But you have to see Krishna is arranging it, and it's for my benefit. Okay, and that's the second point. And then that very much runs into the third point, too. Like Narada Muni here, he accepted this curse. And that curse he used in his service. The curse was never to be able to remain in one place, to always be traveling. That's from the previous verse. Daksha said, therefore, you, a rascal, does not know how to behave towards you. You may travel all over the universe, but I curse you to have no residence anywhere. So he accepted that and utilized it to become more and more Krishna conscious, which is pretty wonderful, isn't it? Prabhupada also said that he was cursed by his disciples' parents to keep traveling. And Prabhupada accepted that curse. And Prabhupada later on said he wanted to transfer the curse to his disciples. To the disciples who had taken sannyas. Lord Chaitanya also became cursed. There was a Brahmin who could not enter the Shiva Sangam because he wasn't a pure devotee. And he got so angry with Lord Chaitanya, he said, just like I am locked out of your house, or Shivasa's house, you will be locked out of your house. And when Lord Chaitanya heard that, he got very happy. So Narada Muni, took this curse in a way that helped his devotional service. And just one other thing, that Narada Muni only is able to remain in one place when he's in the spiritual world. So there's that story when Narada Muni is in Narada Kund, which is right near Govardhan. Anyone's been to Narada Kund here? Yeah, a few of you. That Narada Muni was able to compose the Narada Bhakti Sutras of Narada Pancharatna and also able to preach to Kayadu, because that is not part of the material world, the spiritual realm. So curses don't apply in the material world. They don't apply in the spiritual world. They only apply in the material world. So any questions or comments? Yeah.
So when you don't want to, show your anger and you don't want to repress it and you cannot be compassionate to others, that what's left to pray, Krishna, just help me, you know, right or what?
No, you actually have to do some internal work. You know, sometimes we want to make Krishna our servant. I mean, sometimes. We generally want to make Krishna our servant. Krishna, I'm experiencing this desire. Make it go away. And it doesn't go away. I mean, I think we've all experienced that. Because we just want to take service from Krishna. We have to work at it. We have to do the work. That may come as a surprise because generally, you know, we're trained up. Does Krishna do this? Krishna, I would like some nice prasadam this morning. Krishna, I have this disease. Please cure it. Krishna's become our order supplier. There's that story with Sanatana and Rupa Goswami. How Rupa Goswami wanted to make something nice for Sanatana. And he wanted to make sweet rice. And then some young girl came and brought some ingredients for the sweet rice. You know this story. And then he cooked that for Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami had never tasted such nectarian sweet rice before in his life. And he said, you know, where'd you get the ingredients? And Rupa Goswami said, this nice young girl. And Sanatana Goswami said, what did that girl look like? And then Rupa Goswami described, well, she's very attractive. She had hair like this, blue eyes. And Sanatana Goswami got very angry. He said, you're taking service from Radharani. We're supposed to serve Radharani, not take service. So getting back to the point about anger, of course we can pray to Krishna, but we really have to deal with it ourselves. And the way that we deal with it ourselves internally, you know, we understand, first of all, that I've been contemplating my sense objects. I'm responsible, as we talk about in our course, we should not deny responsibility. You made me angry. That's denial of responsibility. No one can make us angry. We contemplated it. It's like looking at some food and blaming the food for making you hungry. It's kind of stupid, isn't it? You know, it's like I looked at that ice cream cone and said, you're making me lusty. Bam! Knock it out of the devotee's hand. Right? So, no, it's our responsibility. So we got to take care of our responsibility. There's five factors in action, right? According to the Gita. Super soul is one of them. Remember, there's the doer, you know, the place, etc., and the endeavor. There are other factors. So the other ones are under your control. What do they say? Man proposes, God disposes. So that means you have to make some action and depend on Krishna. Like Arjuna, he just wanted Krishna to do everything. He had that attitude too. Krishna, I don't want to fight. Why don't you take care of all this battle, Krishna, to yourself? You know, you're God. You know, you can handle it all. You got that nice universal form. You can kill everybody. And Krishna said no. So with anger, we have to work on it. And what does it mean to work on it? That there's, like I mentioned before, there's a physical constituent of it. So you got to take care of that too, because otherwise you're going to get sick. Even if you're not like psychologically angry anymore, you're still going to be. I'm not angry anymore at you. What do you look like? I don't know. Like that. So you got to take care of that with some physical exercise. That's practical. Or yoga, I don't know. You do some sun salutations or something. I don't know. Stand on your head for 2 hours. But you got to do something physical. But psychologically, you have to process the anger, and you process the anger by understanding that you, first of all, you contemplated a sense object and just think, next time I'm going to try not to do that. And number two, that anger also represents some particular need I have. Let me find a practical means to fulfill that need that's not going to, you know, make me angry or frustrated and everything like that. So you have to make another strategy, but identify the cause of the anger and take responsibility for it. Until you take responsibility for it, until you take personal responsibility for your actions and mentality, you'll never be able to change life. Until an alcoholic takes responsibility for himself drinking instead of calling himself an alcoholic. As soon as you diagnose someone, even diagnose yourself, you know, I'm schizophrenic or something like that, or then you lose your sense of responsibility for your actions and your mentality. You know, I got angry. I'm responsible. You didn't make me angry. I'm going to try my best to deal with it in the future. Yeah.
Is it possible to live in this world and not contemplate a sense of it?
Yes. Contemplate Krishna. I'm not saying don't look at, you have to look at sense objects. I mean, obviously.
What is the difference?
Contemplation means meditation. You know, the first word, jayato, that's like meditation. Like jhana yoga. It's the same word, you understand? Jhana, which means to meditate. So contemplation is different than looking. Like you're drinking tea or something there. So I'm looking at it. All right, so that's life. But if I start thinking, I would like tea. I don't even know what it is, but I'm just speculating. I would like tea. It'd be really nice to have tea. Or let's say something more practical than tea, because I can't stand tea. But let's say chocolate. Let's say you have it in class. Somehow or other you have a big chocolate bar. And you're eating it during class. That'd be interesting. And so, we're not that liberal yet. So, then I would look at it. And then, I'd look at it. Oh, he's eating chocolate. Yeah, that's Hare Krishna. But if I kept looking at chocolate, thinking, feeling, willing. And after a while, like the Pavlovian dogs. You know Pavlovian dogs? No. None of you know this. You study Pavlov in psychology? He trained dogs up that every time they ring a bell, they would get food. And then he stopped giving them food and he just kept ringing the bell and they kept salivating. You know, surviving. So if I actually start thinking about chocolate, then I start thinking about the taste of chocolate, and then I start, the salivary gland starts secreting. It just happens. You just try it, make an experiment. Think right now about chocolate. Oh, no, think about something. All right. Think about pizza. Pizza. Nice pizza with cheese, tomato sauce, and olives, you know, olives on top, and some olive oil. And who is not salivating right now? Right? I mean, if you actually had a measure of the saliva in your mouth, it would start increasing that measure. So that's contemplation. So as soon as, but you can counteract that. Let's say I was talking about pizza with olive oil, a nice, you know, just like thin crust, right? Like thin crust, thin crispy crust. So instead of listening to me, you have the opportunity of just chanting Hare Krishna in your mind, or contemplating on the deities. And then you won't have that physiological response. Does that make sense? I can hear what you're saying, but immediately I have this mechanism. I train myself up immediately. Hare Krishna. You know, immediately I'm thinking about Krishna's pastimes. Yeah, the thought may come. Just like so many bubbles come up within a water sometimes. But you just let them bubble up and go away. And you're aware of them. But contemplation is a meditation, jayato. That means meditating. Basically, the literal Sanskrit word is meditation. When you meditate on sense objects, lust develops. Or attachment first, sorry. Attachment, then comes lust. Simple. Simple thing. But anyway, we do it, and we're going to continue meditating on sense objects, and we are going to continue getting angry, so we have to have a way to deal with it. You know, this is the real world. I don't think any of us can say from this point forward, I'm not going to contemplate any sense object, I'm not going to get angry, I'm not going to get attached. So I'm teaching a method to deal with it afterwards, after the fact. Okay, I think we're going to have to go now, right? All right, thank you very much. All glory is to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.